Today Show, 93.5, 95.3. Yeah, New Connect FM. Lance, Jeremy Warner, Mike Carpenter. It is a beautiful Friday, and you can call us, 359-CALL. That's 217-359-2255.
Yeah, Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com, the Big Ten blogger, going to join us in a few minutes. But what we're talking about right now is the Big Ten debating whether they want to award more than the typical scholarship to a student athlete. Right now, an athletic scholarship pays for tuition, fees, room and board, and books, but it doesn't cover items like transportation, clothing, other living expenses like apartments, things like that. So they call it the full cost of attendance, you know, the things that you don't pay with your tuition money. So they're saying the gap is about $3,000 between $3,000 per player. Should the university supply that to student athlete? 359-CALL, 217-359-2255. What do you think about that?
I have a question for Adam that's going to be this. If one guy that plays baseball is here on a partial scholarship and another guy, let's say the quarterback of the football team, is on a full scholarship, so does the quarterback get $3,000, the partial guy get $1,500?
That's what's going to be interesting. I mean, do you just give this to the revenue shorts? I mean, do you just give this to basketball and football? What about the track athletes? What about the swimming and diving athletes? Are they getting these extra $3,000? And the interesting thing that I want to know, where's the source of this money? This has got to come from the
Big
donors.
Ten Network.
This has got to come from iFund or whether it's a university supplying its own, you know, the basketball team providing its own, right?
I mean, I don't know.
That's what you, I would imagine it has to be.
I mean, I you know, I know the Big Ten Network. Aren't they making huge money off this Big Ten Network?
Oh, yeah.
Each university. So it's interesting. I mean, because, listen, I could see, what do they call that? The apple cart being turned over or something. I mean, what, you know, if you're a guy that makes a, if you're a swimmer and you get up every morning at 5 a.m. to go to practice and you are busting your hump to do this and you are doing a lot for the university, though not bringing in revenue like the football team would, for instance, then what happens? You're on a partial scholarship, but yet the football guy's on a full scholarship. So how about saying, well, instead of you giving him an extra $3,000, how about you make my partial scholarship a full one?
Well, and some non-athletes might sit there and think, well, I didn't get this. Well, you had the chance to actually have another job. You know,
and
these athletes can't have jobs.
That's true.
So, you know, this is kind of understandable in that way, I guess.
Well, let's bring in Adam Rittenberg, who is an ESPN.com blogger for the Big Ten. And Adam, you, I guess, are the guy that can sort through this. The Big Ten talking about possibly paying student athletes some money, right?
Right, and it's really trying to make the scholarship go farther than it does right now, which is basically, you know, the tuition costs, room and board, you know, a couple other things, but basically this would cover, you know, some travel costs and some other living expenses that aren't covered by the current scholarship structure. And, you know, something the Big Ten is talking about now, it's something that was brought up even as far back as Miles Brand's NCAA presidency, and Mark Emmert, the current NCAA president, also seems somewhat open to the idea. You know, at the conference level, your Big Ten saying they'll go out and gauge interest from other conferences and see who else might be interested in doing this, but there's a lot of things to sort out. Yeah. I think the discussion is still at a very early stage right now.
Yeah, so is this just more fun debate for them right now, just saying, hey, let's look into this, see what can happen?
Well, you know, again, I think it's something that, you know, Jim Delaney brought this up to us as reporters. We didn't ask him about it, so it is notable. Wow. You know, usually when he does this, it means that he's serious, and he knows when he says things, it's going to get out there publicly. So the reaction and the coverage hasn't surprised me one bit. I don't think it's surprised him. So it's now something that people are talking about, and they're talking about, and like I said, it would be take a lot of things to still be worked out, but I think it is something to be taken seriously at this stage.
Well, obviously, this is something the Big Ten can afford with the Big Ten Network, everything. You know, the schools themselves raise a lot of money for these athletics, but what ramifications across the country would this kind of have on just the NCAA and amateur athletics?
Yeah, that's the really interesting part of this. The Big Ten being pretty open about the fact that, hey, we can do this, and other leagues aren't going to be able to do this. So we're going to go out and see who can and who can't, and go from there. And it might be a first step towards some leagues operating under different rules, even more so than they already do. Yeah, I talked to Gene Smith, the AD at Ohio State, and he, you know, previously has made many stops. One of them was at Eastern Michigan, and he came out and said, you know, Eastern Michigan couldn't do this, but Eastern Michigan is competing with Bowling Green and Toledo and those schools. That's who they should worry about. at Ohio State, you know, we have to compete with the other teams in our league, and we are in a position to do this. So it's very much acknowledging that, you know, the haves and the have-nots, and this could be a first step towards those haves breaking off even further with the way they can fund and support their athletes.
Adam Rittenberg, he's the ESPN.com Big Ten blogger. Adam, I don't like it. I don't like the sound of this from what I'm hearing. The one thing that came to my mind is, let's say you've got a baseball player that's on a partial scholarship and the football player on a full scholarship. What happens then? Does the football guy get $3,000, the baseball guy get $1,500? Or, I mean, I know it's early, but I think there's too many things that could cause problems with this.
Right, and I mean, what about Title IX? I mean, you know, you're going to do this for the men, the male athletes, or you're going to do it for the women's soccer player and the women's swimmer, and is she going to get less than the guy who, quite honestly, is making you the money on the football team or the basketball team? And, you know, Jim Delaney did mention that this would be a way to help some of the athletes from lower income backgrounds, and, you know, we all know a lot of those athletes are playing revenue sports, football and basketball. So I think those are the type of things that need to be worked out. And, you know, I would be more on board with this, and it could happen if all the athletes at a school got the same amount or something in that ballpark, because you know, it isn't fair for a player, you know, just because he plays a sport that doesn't make a ton of money to get less than someone who would play football or basketball.
Adam, did Jim Delaney say the source of this money? Would this be from donations? Would this be from boosters? Or would this be from just the Big Ten Network, the money that's coming in there?
Well, you know, he didn't specify, but again, the major, you know, new revenue source for the Big Ten is its increased revenue off television. So, you know, the Big Ten wouldn't be talking about this if it didn't feel it had enough money in its athletic budget to do it. And let's make no mistake, this would be a significant cost. I mean, for a school like Ohio State that has, you know, 34 or 36 varsity sports, I mean, this would be a big thing. But, you know, some folks have brought up, you know, if we're paying the coaches $3 or $4 million, why can't we you know, allocate some more funds for the athletes?
Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com. He covers the Big Ten. Was up at the Big Ten meetings. And, Adam, they talked about a lot more up there. One was the venue of the Big Ten title game. We talked about that yesterday, being indoors or outdoors, indoors in Indy. That's where it's going to be the first year of the championship game. Or Chicago. Do you have a feeling of or an inkling of where this is going to go?
Yeah, it's tough to say, but I think the fact that the Big Ten is bringing Chicago into the discussion, not just for the football game, but for the basketball tournament, is notable. I mean, I think if everything was fine in Indy, maybe that would just be the city for all these events. And I wouldn't surprise me if Chicago ended up being the pick, or if we saw some type of rotation between Indianapolis and Chicago, because I mean, they know what they're going to get in Indy, and I think it's going to be a great event. They've seen what indoor championships have done in the SEC and, yeah, I guess, the Big 12 some years. But the thing is, you don't know until you try with a Chicago venue. It might be a disaster, it might hurt your teams, and it might hurt your product, or it might be very cool. I think there's greater risk there, but there could be greater reward and upside, too, to having an outdoor championship. I think the safe bet, without a doubt, is Indianapolis, and I think we'll have a great event this year. But, I wouldn't be surprised if Chicago ends up being at least part of the mix.
And, Adam, I mean, we laughed about it yesterday, but we're Big Ten country, right? We're men. We want to be outside. That's what football's all about.
That's Lon's argument.
Well, you know, again, that's an argument made by a lot of Big Ten fans, is that it just wouldn't be genuine to have its championship game, its showcase game, its branding game indoors. Now, the flip side of that is, you're going to have teams in that game that are most likely, you know, at least one of them for sure, and most likely two of them, going to be playing in BCS bowls after that. And those games are always in ideal environments for the most part, in good weather. So why not have them play that game in an environment that simulates the BCS bowl? You limit injuries. The logistics of it would be easier. But again, a true Big Ten game, we have no indoor venues now with the Metrodome closed, and you know, we are playing outdoor football the week before in places like Minneapolis and East Lansing and State College. So you know, if it's really a truly Big Ten product, it should be outdoors.
Adam, Mike Carpenter here to expand on your point there. Do you think any of the Big Ten officials, as they're considering where to play, are factoring in that no Big Ten team has won the national championship in, what was it, Ohio State in 2002? Right. It's been that long, so if anything, an outdoor game and all the elements of chance might give a team that has no shot in a title game the upper hand, and then before you know it, your one shot at a national title loses in the conference title game.
Right. No, I think that's something to consider. I mean, I think we're looking at two factors here. For years, the argument was the Big Ten ended its season too early, and there was too long of a layoff between the end of the regular season and the national championship game or other BCS bowls. That was the argument that Joe Paterno made, a lot of other folks made. That argument no longer exists because there is a championship game, and the regular season ends a week later. So you're on par with every other conference. Now the weather is the factor, and it is a factor. You have to play differently in November weather, early December weather, if you're in Big Ten country versus how you play a national championship game. But I think it was the layoff the reason why the Ohio State got beat up in those games, or was it the style of play? You know, Ohio State now has won two BCS bowls. So I think it's all these things are things that the Big Ten has to consider when it's making this decision.
Adam Rittenberg writes for the Big Ten on ESPN.com. Adam, you were at the Big Ten spring meetings. Did you run into Jim Phillips at all? Because I know a lot of Illini fans would be interested in what he would have to say about the open position here.
You know, Jim was not very available. I did catch him once during one coffee break and said hi to him. And I do know Jim going back. And I know he's a guy that is very coveted in these, whenever there's a vacancy, and other schools have made pushes for him, and Illinois, you know, him being an alum, that's a no-brainer to try to at least gauge his interest. I do know, however, that he is very happy at Northwestern. He's excited about building that program. There's a major facilities plan that they're currently in, and probably will result in some of the upgrades to their facilities. I know athletic directors often like to see those things through. Has a great relationship with Pat Fitzgerald, but I think Illinois would be foolish for not trying to make a push for this guy.
Any other tidbits from the meetings, Adam?
Nine conference games was something that was discussed quite a bit, and there is a feeling that this will happen. It just won't happen soon because there's so many games, non-conference games, scheduled out into the distance. So I know the coaches don't really want it. Most of the ADs do want it, and they ultimately have the say. So I would imagine that going into effect in 2017. And the one thing I still like to get some answers on is the tiebreakers for the divisions. Will the BCS standings continue to be part of that mix, or are they going to find other ways to break ties? Because we're in a new era, guys. I mean, there's going to be division play and ties, and it should be a lot of fun.
ESPN.com, Big Ten blogger Adam Rittenberg. Adam, very knowledgeable about all of this, and we appreciate, as always, you coming on and helping us out.
Okay, guys, anytime. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com is where you can read his blogs and interesting stuff.
Just a lot of interesting things coming out of these meetings. Usually they're dull, but when you come in around Jim Delaney, the fact that he brought this to the media.
I don't like it.
You wonder what goes on behind there. I don't mind it. Why do you hate giving these kids more money to cover their expenses?
What I don't like is that unless it's all equal, I don't like it. And I'm not like one of those equal guys. I can play the bad cop, good cop, that the football team makes all the money.
Right.
Those guys should be treated a lot better than the tennis player that doesn't make anything.
We'll tell that to Rashard Mendenhall when he was here, when all his jerseys were flying off.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it's I don't mean I don't like it in terms of, that's great if the student, if they pass this thing and the student athletes can get more money, that's great. I don't have an issue with that, but I just think it's going to bring up a whole can of worms if this guy is getting this, or if this girl's getting this and this one is not.
What do you think? 359 call. That's 217-359-2255. Should they get more money?
Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
The new Connect FM.
J Show, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. It is Friday. We like that.
Yes.
And we're talking about student athletes. Do they need to get more money?
Yeah, the Big Ten, considering giving student athletes the full cost of attendance.
Interesting.
In addition to their full tuition cost of their scholarship, they would give them more money for their living expenses, say transportation, everything like that, living, their apartments and things like that.
359 call, 359-2255. We go to Tim in Champaign. Tim, how are you?
Pretty good. How's it going, guys?
Very good.
One of the points, and I don't know if it was brought up because I came into the conversation late, was what about, like, hockey? I mean, if you're going to pay all these people, then you get gun-shy about creating more student-athletes because, for example, our hockey is, what, a club sport?
Sure.
And so why would they add another set of mouths to feed if that was the case?
I think Tim has the same... he's kind of feeling like I am right now. It's just, it's not that I'm against it. It's just, I feel like it's going to bring up so many can of worms, it's not good.
Right.
Well, and to me, it depends on where's the source coming from. If donors want to step up, give another, you know, $3,000 for an athlete, I'm fine with that. But if you're talking about you're taking money away from improving Assembly Hall, you're taking money away from, you know, starting another sport or something like that, I think that would be the problem. I think that's what Tim's saying.
And, the times right now, where, you know, I think they've tapped out a lot of the money sources out there. I don't think they're going to get a lot of donors to throw in the additional funds for all this.
Correct.
And I still don't see how this might stop the under-the-table stuff.
Yeah, in fact, it could just lead to, I mean, maybe it wouldn't lead to more. But, I mean, it's just, again, if the Big Ten does it, nobody else does it, that's an interesting, that's a whole other level of interest to me. So, well, Tim, I appreciate the call.
Hey, thanks.
All right, that is Tim. And it, I think Tim has that, what's the word, trepidation that I have? It's not that we're against these athletes getting paid. It's just a fact of where does it end and stop?
What do you think? 217-359-2255.
We will be back with your calls, 359-2255. Tay and Jay Show. I am trying so hard not to do the Sunday.
I can see it.
Tay and Jay Show. 93.5-95.3, the new Connect FM. Give us a call, 359-2255. That's 359-2255.
Do you think student athletes should get paid more than just tuition for their scholarship? The Big Ten's considering giving student athletes an extra $3,000 for the full cost of attending a school, including transportation, clothing, and other living expenses. What do you think? 359 call. That's 217-359-2255.
Let's go to Jeff in Camargo. Jeff, how are you, buddy?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well.
Well, I'm not a fan of this, and I don't really, not because of the possible inequality of it. I think you're opening Pandora's box here big time. Is this going to now become a recruiting tool? We can give you more money than can.
Big time.
And that, I think this is Pandora's box, and they just need to walk away from it. And then you need to go to the NCAA and start cracking down hard on the schools that are getting busted instead of dancing around it like they did with Ohio State's bowl game last year.
Jeff, I think there's one thing with this, though, and I guess I see the can of worms, Pandora's box idea going on here, that you start this and then who knows where it's going to go. But if anything, I think that this is really Big Ten. It's forward thinking. It is sort of investing in the conference's long-term viability, because this will positively impact recruiting. And if a guy is between, you know, LSU or Michigan or Ohio State for a football school, that might be the deciding factor.
Well,
before you know it, you're right back up top.
Well,
right.
Mike, the thing with that is they're thinking about money. This is all about, you know, keeping the Big Ten viable.
And they'll make more money because of it.
But what Jeff's getting to is this is an amateur sport.
Exactly.
But this has gotten so big, so much money involved in all of this, is that they're thinking of maybe giving them more money, paying them more, which is really unamateur. I mean, and that's what I think Jeff is worried about, right?
I can't believe I'm going to say this, Jeremy, but I'm with you 100%.
Hey, you got Jeff on your side now. That's
really
good.
Call it amateur anymore, though. With as much money as the NCAA,
that's what it markets itself as.
That's fine. That's what it markets itself as. Well, but with as much money as they make, it's hard to still call it a truly amateur. It's entertainment, if anything.
The Big Ten schools getting so overrun in these bowl games, and Ohio State getting beat up, and Illinois just getting slaughtered in the Rose Bowl that year. You were playing pro teams. I mean, it came out, history washed itself out, found out, hey, some of these teams were actually paying for their players.
Yep.
So, I mean, I think that, to me, that's what the Big Ten is pushing towards is, well, they're doing it and they're getting away with it, so we'll just do it and make it legal.
Right.
Exactly. That's they're going to make it legal in this roundabout way, yeah.
That's exactly what I was going to get to, because, what are they talking about through these Ohio State players? What, a couple thousand dollars of extra things? I know it was tattoos and jerseys and stuff, but what did they sell? They sold their stuff for money so that they could pay for stuff they wanted, for food, for living expenses, and, yeah, this is just a legal way of doing it.
I don't agree with it, but they're going to do what they're going to do. So.
Exactly. Jeff, thanks for the call. Great call.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, that is Jeff.
And I know Mike was saying that this isn't amateur, but it is supposed to be for these student athletes. This is supposed to be amateur sports. And we know, I mean, this isn't anything new. Guys have been paid under
the
table.
The Olympics used to be amateur, too. Right.
I mean, they've been paid under the table for a while, and it's still happening. And, yeah, I think this is just a legal way to get around the whole system.
Yep.
There was one point you made, and I completely agree with earlier, Jeremy, the whole Rashard Mendenhall. Well, think of all the money he would have made from that. The one point I always go back to is if you would have kept track on how much money D. Brown made for the University of Illinois and the DIA while he was here, for all the number 11 jerseys that went off the shelves, all the shirts with his likeness in some way or another. I think this is only fair, if anything. And I know that it's one step closer to actually paying these guys. Mm-hmm. But if you look at it, I've always thought, I mean, stipends alone are not enough. Yeah. For what these guys bring into the university.
Well, for every Darren Williams that gains so much by going here, that makes so much millions afterwards, there's a D. Brown that didn't make as much money as he probably could have if it would have been pro sports here.
We'll continue this next hour. Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
Connect FM.